they were discussing what they was going to do when they got to their destination. They wasn't sure. They had a job to do, but they wasn't sure how they were going to do it. Their names was Mary and Mary Magdalene. And it was on a Sunday morning that they came looking for the body of Jesus. And when they got close to their destination, an angel told them, "He's not here, he's risen. Come see the place where he lay." Well, we are familiar with that story, what happened on that Sunday morning many years ago. It's the center of the good news. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says that Christ died according to the scriptures and was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is at the center of what we believe in the Bible. From beginning to end, it's talking about him. First indication is Genesis 3:15, that one day one would come and destroy the works of Satan. And at the close of the Bible, we have the invitation to come. Well, we think about what the early Christians did. They came together on the first day of the week. Many people come together today as a special day, being what we call Easter, the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the spring equinox, is the way it was decided when we would celebrate Easter in the Council of Nicaea about 325 A.D. And we realized that it is a special holiday. We got to spend some time with the kids and so forth. But when it comes time, it matters of religion, we remember Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection every Sunday, as the first church did on the first day of the week when they came together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about how important it is that Christ did come forth from the grave. It says, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and our faith also is empty. Then in verse 17, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. Just think about how horrible it would be if we were still in our sins, thinking about that condition. But though Christ died and was buried, he arose and he was the first one to rise from the dead to die no more. 1 Corinthians 15, about verse 20, talks about him being the first fruits. Now, there are a number of resurrections in the Bible. I remember it seemed like there's about seven. But Christ was the first one to be raised from the dead to die no more. Those others that were resurrected, they died again. But we can look forward to the point that one day, if we do not live in when Christ comes, we live this life in death, then we will be resurrected in a very wonderful way if we are prepared. Jesus said in John 5:28-29, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all, everyone that are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those that have done good," I sure hope that's all of us, "to a resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." All will be resurrected, some to eternal life, some to condemnation. Why? What's the difference? Why will some get to go to heaven and some not? Well, we've been talking about a resurrection, the resurrection of Christ from the dead, and our resurrection. If we die and when Christ comes, we'll be resurrected with everyone else. But those who are prepared, and now hopefully that's all of us, we have already taken part in a resurrection. It may not be called that exact thing, but that is the idea. The word resurrection comes from the idea to stand up or to rise, to stand up again or to rise up again. And if someone's going to rise up, well, that means sometime they've been down. And we realize that primarily it's talking about being raised from the dead physically or in a new life, a new body. But there are really two types of death. One death is when the spirit leaves the body. The spirit, the body without the spirit is dead, James 2 and verse 26. In Ephesians 1 and verse 2, it says, and he made alive you who were dead in your trespasses and sins. Here he's talking about a different type of being made alive. When Jesus comes and resurrects the dead, that's the resurrection at the end of time. But here it talks about you he made alive who were dead. And he's writing to people who were living at that time. So he's not talking about the end of time. He's talking about something they did. He made alive who? Those that were dead. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3 kind of describes how they lived when they were dead spiritually. He says, we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of mind, and were by nature children of wrath. That's not very flattering, is it? But Paul says we all were that way at one time. We were dead spiritually because of our sins. Well, if those that are going to be saved get to go to heaven are resurrected, raised again, or however how we want to say that, how and when is that done? How are the spiritually dead made alive again? Well, notice again Ephesians 2 and verse 1 that they were dead in their sins, dead spiritually, dead not being able to have the relationship with God as we would like. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2 tells us that our sins separate us from God. So being spiritually dead, we cannot have the relationship with God that we once did. Well, one who is dead spiritually, well, they need to be made alive again. I think we all realize perhaps everything we're going to discuss tonight. But maybe it will be us a reminder, an encouragement to us. Jesus said in John 3 and verse 3, unless one is born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. Recall how Nicodemus had trouble with that. And then Jesus explained, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Born again. Romans chapter 6, we're familiar with the verses there that helps maybe to understand that. In chapter 5 of Romans, Paul is talking about how we're saved by grace. God giving us something that we really don't deserve. So beginning chapter 6, Paul asks a question about that. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, if God shows grace when we sin, why don't we just sin a big lot so God can give us a big lot of grace? Well, he says, no, certainly not. Then he says, how shall we who die to sin? Die to sin. There's a big difference in dying to sin and dying in sin. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? Do you not know that many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Now we're familiar, Jesus died, he was buried, he arose again. And just as he died physically, we can are dead to sin, die to sin, and then we are to rise to walk in a new life. Aren't you thankful? Maybe sometimes you get yourself in some sort of predicament, some sort of mess. Boy, I'm just going to start over. And you're thankful that you have opportunity to start over. I've been in occasions where maybe someone was cooking and things didn't go just exactly the way they planned, you know, and I'm going to start over, but I don't have time. Well, maybe you've experienced something like that, but we can start over that we might be able to have a new life. And if we're Christians, we have taken advantage of that opportunity we can start over. We can be raised up. We're not to continue in sin, But we are to die to sin, there again from Romans 6. And when we are buried with Christ in baptism, we're raised to walk in a new life. We are resurrected from that spiritual death. And that is such a wonderful, wonderful thing to know that because we're taking advantage of what Christ done, he died, was buried, and rose again the third day. Well, we die to sin. We try to stop living in sin. We don't do it completely, but that's where the blood of Christ takes in. Colossians 2, verse 12, buried with him in baptism, in which also we were raised with him. Raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised Christ from the dead. Just as Jesus physically died, physically was buried, and rose again, we must die spiritually to sin. We're already dead in sin, die to sin, buried, and then we have a new life. Now that we've been resurrected, now that we have this new life, what now? Where do we go from there? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 gives us a great deal of information, really the whole chapter. He says, if then you were raised up with Christ, buried with Christ, raised up with Christ in baptism, if you have done that, then seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Seek, desire, long for. You know, Jesus says, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The next verse then, after being raised up with Christ, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. If we were to maybe somehow make a list of the things that we think about, earthly things, and things maybe that we shouldn't be thinking about, and then over here think about the heavenly things that we do think about, I wonder how the lists would compare. Now I realize we live in an earthly life as far as here in the physical life, and we must think and work and in the world, not to be of the world, but we are to be living here. But we're to remember to set our lives on things above. Someone has commented on that. We are to love heavenly things. Study them. Let our hearts be entirely engrossed by them. Now that we're converted to Christ, act with reference to heavenly things. Paul continues then in Colossians 3 to show how those who have been raised up with Christ, how we should live. And I think most of us are probably in this category. We've been buried with Christ and raised in baptism to have a new life. If you've not done that, I'd encourage you to think very seriously about that. But let's notice, continuing in Colossians chapter 3, in verses 5 through 7, he talks about that we are not to live the way we used to before we became Christians. He says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. And then he gives a list: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of obedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Put to death all those sinful things. Don't live in those anymore. Why? God's wrath is coming against that. In verses 8 through 14, he talks about how that we have changed from those things and some things that we should be doing. He talks about that we should have compassion and meekness and long-suffering and forgiveness and love. In verses 15 through 17, he talks about things that we should have, the unity that we should possess, and that we should teach and admonish one another in spiritual songs, living the way that we should be, and let Christ dwell in us richly. Then he talks about other things that we should do, that we should do everything in the name of Jesus. We realize that's talking about authority. Whatever you do, We think of that primarily in matters of religion, and that's certainly true. If we do something in matters of religion, we need to have authority from Christ. But here he seems to be talking about everything, you know. Well, guess go wash the dishes. God didn't give me authority. I can't do it. Well, no, let's see. I bet there's something in there someplace about taking care of your possessions and being a good husband. Well, I guess I do have authority to do that. You get the idea. And then he goes on to talk about individuals and some of the things that they're to do. Verse 18, wives, submit to your own husbands. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives. Verse 20, children, obey your parents. Verse 21, fathers, do not provoke your children. Bondservants, employees, we might say today, obey in all things your masters. And then in verse 23, every Christian, whatever you do, do heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Whatever you do. Does that ever come to mind, maybe when you're doing a little something? When I was in the Air Force, they had a saying, well, that's good enough for government work, you know. But we as Christians, we're not working for the government, are we? And whatever we do, well, Jesus is coming, so I better take care of that. Not physically, the idea of Jesus coming to see that, but do it heartily. Put your heart into it and do it to the Lord. In Romans chapter 5, verse 11 tells us the things that we are to consider. The idea, consider yourself to be dead to sin. Okay? How shall we who've died to sin still live any longer in it? Dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 12, he says, therefore do not let sin reign, rule, in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members instruments of righteousness to God. Don't be involved in things that we should not be. Remember, we're serving God, and put our members, what we can do, in reverence and obedience to God. Paul describes himself in Galatians 2 and verse 10. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. I've died with him. Been put to death, as it were. And it's no longer I who live, been raised with Christ. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. How wonderful it is to know what Jesus has done. He gave himself for me. We are so very thankful, or at least should be, that we serve a risen Savior. If Jesus was still in the tomb, our faith really wouldn't be worth much, would it? We'd be worshiping and trying to serve someone who just like everybody else, they died and stayed dead. And he would be a false teacher, because he said, in 3 days I'll come forth. But he did come forth. And he will one day come, raise the dead from the graves, and then he'll sign both he or she to their eternal destinies. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the kingdom that's prepared for you. Oh, I want to hear that. Or depart from me, you know, into that lake of fire and brimstone, that place prepared for the devil and his angels. He wants us to live here, so we'll be prepared there. You probably heard the story about a mason. He was working on a stone. It's called the capstone. It was an arch coming down and had one stone. It was kind of V-shaped at the top. And someone asked him, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm working on this stone. Why? He says, I'm preparing it down here so that it'll fit up there. And that's what God wants us to do. You know, sometimes we have difficulties. But even if we have difficulties, James 1 talks about have the proper attitude even towards that. We all live in a sinful world. We all have sinned. But Jesus died that we might be forgiven. We might be born again. We might be resurrected, raised with Christ. Aren't you thankful for that blessing? We realize how to become a Christian. And Jesus said, just real simple, quickly, if you don't believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. Unless you repent, you're going to perish. If you don't confess me before men, I won't confess you before the Father in heaven. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Be faithful unto death, and I give you a crown of life. Be faithful. That includes our life from the time that we were raised up with Christ when we were baptized, and we are to live faithfully. As we often say, you know, the Bible is our guide. The word is lamp is a thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119, verse 105. The Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, written to help us to have faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Acts, tell us how to become a Christian. And then the rest of the Bible, primarily, how to live it. So I hope that as we think about the blessings that we have in Christ, the risen Savior, Jesus is alive. I have a friend, well, I haven't seen him in many years, went to preaching school with him. He had a whole slew of kids. He was a little bit older than I was, and you'd asked him, his name was George Drain. How you doing today, George? Doing great. God is alive and on His throne, and all is well. If we're faithful to God, we can say that. God is on His throne. Christ is risen, sitting at God's right hand, and all is well.